when we're young is to actually think about what does God's word have to say about growing old. By the way, growing old is not a promise. Okay, it is not a promise. I think in light of certain things going on in people's life this last week, or even right now.
Yeah.
By the way, we were just praying for Rebecca, our dear Rebecca Burton, and even you know for you as well. You know, with everything at Trader Joe's. It is not a promise. The Bible, there's no Bible verse says that we will live just because you're godly. You'll live a long age. Okay. Sometimes doing the right thing also means if we put ourselves at a risk also as well. So in light of this, I do at the same time want us to think about growing godly even when we're growing old. If God gives us this privilege, you don't want to squander those years. Sometimes people can live godly years, a strong legacy when they're young or their golden years, only for the end of it that they just ruined it. So in light of this today, I think it's important for us to think about being godly. Okay, being godly even as we grow older. There's also, sometimes you hear stories too, right? People, and I hear this too as well as a pastor, those in our church younger, where everyone say, wow, when they were young, when they were in high school, wow, they look so dedicated to God. Well, what happened after college? Go to college, they party it up, or even sometimes at college, they were still godly, because they're still young, they hang out with godly influence, but their work years suddenly reveals their character. You know, they don't want anything to do with God. So I want to invite this to grow godly even when we're old. And this is, I think, is a good psalm, okay? By the way, why is the psalm is very good. I think the psalm is very beautiful. If you ever struggle to worship God, if there's ever a moment in your life you struggle to worship God, probably the Psalms is probably the best book to begin. Because it's just crying out to God, okay? There's times where, you know, in a tough situation, you might not be able to read through Romans very well, like, oh, working through all this deep theology, which does lead us to worship. But at the very least, you can read through and you're just crying out to God, okay? You're crying out to God in trials and tribulation and difficulties, okay? So in light of this, one of the Psalms' theme, one of the themes of the psalm is here is about growing godly while we're old. So looking at the psalm, we're going to see five things God wants us to do, okay? Five things God wants us to do in terms of pursuing godliness even when we're old, okay? So I'm going to break this down to five F's, okay? How many F's? Usually we don't think F's are a good thing, but here it is. It's going to be a good thing, okay? Five F's, okay? The way I break it down is these are the five F's you want to have A's in, okay? Five F's that you want to get A's in, so to speak, okay? The first one is you want to face the fact that growing old has its challenges, okay? You need to realize, face the fact that growing old has its challenges. It's better to know this when you're young, rather than be those that are trying to act what? You're no longer acting your age. You feel me? You don't want to be those that are old, but then they don't know their age. They're acting immature, okay? So point number one is face the fact that growing old has its challenges, okay? Face the fact that growing old has its challenges. That's in verses 9 to 13, okay? I'm going to begin with that part first. I know I'm going out of order, but I think we need to first face the fact that growing old has its what? Challenges. That's in verses 9 to 13, okay? Point number two is find your refuge in Him, okay? Find your refuge in Him. So the first part is face the fact growing old has its challenges. That's in verses 9 to 13. Then second point is find your refuge in Him in verses 1 to 8. Okay? Verses 1 to 8, find your refuge in Him, that is in God. Okay. Third F, is focus on God's work of salvation. Even as you're growing older, whatever age of life it is, you begin now, okay? In order to end your life well, your old years is begins what? Right now, okay? Some people I know sometimes could say, oh, I can't wait till I retire, then I'll be able to do this or that, okay? But if you're not doing serving God, if you're not being faithful now, what makes you think you'll end your life well, right? You hear sometimes people say, oh, well, I want to party up when I'm young. I want to live my own life. And then maybe when I'm old, I know I'm going to die, I'm going to really serve Jesus. Well, the reality is, if you're not faithful in your life now, right, when it's easier with health, right, what makes you think you're able to serve God well when you have all the challenges of being old, right, all the struggles and all the other responsibility that comes with getting older, right? So point number three is focus on God's work of salvation, verses 14 and 19. Then fourth point is foresee God's use of suffering, okay? You need to foresee God's use of suffering in verses 20 and 21. Do you need to go to your room?
Yeah.
You gotta listen in a bit, okay? And fifth point is frequently worship Him. Frequently worship Him even now. Verses 22 to 24, okay? So let's begin with the first part. I think this is foundation for all the thing that follows. We're going to put this out of order. Usually, of course, I begin with verses 1 to 8. But I want to begin with verses 9 and 13. Because I think it kind of lays the foundation for everything else. Verses 9 and 13, I think it teaches us point number 1. Is face the fact growing old has its challenges, okay? Growing old has its challenges, okay? Before you even look at these verses, let me ask you guys a question. What are some challenges that we could face when we get older?
We're not as resilient,
okay? Anything else?
Health problems.
Health problems, okay.
We become more fragile.
More fragile, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are reality we need to know, okay? We need to know that that will be us in the future, okay? That will be us in the future. And not just think, oh, that's everyone else. But I do PX, 90X, or whatever else, you know, and you'll be okay. But that's all of us, okay? So, point number one, face the fact that growing old has its challenges, okay? And sometimes we need to know that. Knowing is half the battle sometimes. I'll just read verses 9 and 13 again. It says, do not cast me off in the time of your old age. By the way, this is a prayer directed towards who? Towards God, okay? This is a prayer directed towards God, okay? So he says, do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my weakness, for my enemies have spoken against me. And those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken me. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, who seeks to injure me. Okay? The writer of Psalm here asks of God, do not cast me off in my time of old age. Okay? He's saying, God, please don't forget me when I'm old. Please be there for my life in that situation. But notice also what he described on some of the weaknesses and challenges of being old. Okay? Number one, look at verses 9. The second half is what? My strength failed. So that's an acknowledgement that we will lose our strength. Okay? We will lose our strength. Okay? By the way, something to keep in mind, if we are not serving God in our strength right now when we are youth, it's going to be even harder to serve God because what? We'll say the excuse, oh, I can't go to church, I can't be involved in everything else because of what? Our strength has already been gone. Okay, it's depleted, okay? There's also second, the feeling of being forsaken, okay? 9b, or second half, right? It says, do not forsake me. It's easy when we're older to feel we're forsaken. Okay? I remember just even this week, last week going to the library just to study, just seeing this older Japanese woman driving a Honda Accord. But it was like a 90s one, right? And it was all beaten up. I was like, wow, you normally don't see like a 70-year-old woman driving like, you know, a 90s Accord or whatever. But then I was just looking and just observing to realize, wow, you know, we're all getting old. All of us, right? And that should make us more softer in our hearts towards other people, right? Realizing that's going to be all of us one day, okay? So there's a sense we could easily be what? Forsaken. You know, I was looking at her and she has everything in her car. And I just didn't want to ask you, but I was just thinking, man, I just sat there and just prayed for her, right? Realizing, hey, you know, it's easy for us to feel forsaken, okay? We're older, people might not necessarily be there in our life, okay? So that's a second challenge, okay? That we have the feeling of forsaken, whether real or imagined, okay? Thirdly, your enemies, if there are enemies, would be more confident, okay? Mm. Be more confident, okay? Verses 10 to 11, for my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him, pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver, okay? Sometimes when we're older, is our enemies get more confident, thinking, oh, he's old and he's weak. I remember when I was at seminary, when I was getting out, I had one of the guys that I went to seminary was an older guy. I would not say he's old, he's 55-ish, but he was telling me at work how there's people at work, there's certain guys that can't wait to take his position. So then they conjured up problems with, you know, saying, oh, he's this or that, because no one else is defending him because what? It's everyone else who loves to be promoted, right? And he was telling me, just pray for me. And I was praying for him. I remember thinking, whoa, but I think God has worked in this. Because I was actually thinking, and I was like, 55 is not that old. But yeah, he was like, yeah, but everyone else in the company, it's a young upstart company, think that's old. And they can't wait to take his spot. And yet, that's how we could feel. By the way, God has answered prayer requests. He actually later went to become a professor in India to train people to be pastors. And when I was in the middle of Nepal, one of the guys that he was telling me, "Oh, you're a graduate of this school." I actually, one of my professors was this guy's name.
Wow.
And I was like, "Really? Like that? Do you have a picture of him?" And it was just the same guy. So I met him this year at the Shepherd's Council. I'm so glad to see, like, wow, God answered prayer requests, right? So, but at the same time, you know, he's at the age where he's feeling kind of vulnerable. He's 55, which means not old, but because everyone else was saying he's old as company, feeling vulnerable, right? Your enemies think, oh, well, I'm going to outsmart you. I'm going to whatever else, right? So here you see he's crying out, "My enemies have spoken out against me. They watched for my life and consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver," okay? The confidence of enemies is described with three verbs, okay? Three verbs is used to describe their confidence. Number one, they've spoken out against me, okay? I take this verb, spoken, it's just they're speaking out. They're not whispering. They're publicly saying this with no shyness, okay? Thinking, oh, well, you know, he's getting old anyways, it doesn't matter, okay? By the way, I could imagine a lot of times in elderly homes, people could say all kinds of things with even the person there, because what? It's not anything they could do, right? They're dependent upon this, okay? Secondly, they pursue him and they seize him, showing their confidence, okay? And the reasons for the enemy's confidence is stated in verses 11. The second half of verse 11 says, "For there is no one to deliver." They say, "Hey, he's old. Who's going to help him anyways? Who's going to believe him anyways? And he's helpless," right? We can see the idea of those who are elderly often are seen as easy prey by the wicked. Is it true or not, right? Sometimes a lot of con artists, they go after who? The elderly, okay? Elderly, okay? Religious con artists and non-religious con artists, okay? Even in the church, sometimes those big televangelists, you know who are those in TV, those guys that say, "Give me money and God will bless you 10 times. You know who are the most, you know which demographic is oftentimes that the people that donate? Is actually older, retired women that gives. That donates that, okay, widowed and everything else. So realize that that's something that I think God, oh man, that's another sermon, another time. If you wonder what God has view of that, I think Jesus actually preached a sermon on that. But that's another sermon. You guys remember the story about the widow that gave her 2 coins?
Right.
A lot of people, Christian pastors, preach that as like, oh, we should give our both. But if you actually read in the context, right before that, Jesus actually condemned the Pharisees, saying, "You are the one people who devour widows." And then the widow gave 2 coins. And Jesus said, "Hey, look at this person, gave her all. And these guys don't give their all." So many times people say, "Oh, that's a thing, we should give our all. We should be in poverty. We should give all our money and just die." I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. In the context, he's saying, these are the religious hucksters. And these guys are going to be condemned for that. That's why the temple of God in Jerusalem was destroyed. Is because of that. That's what Luke 20 and 21, the context. But that's another sermon another time, okay? But going back on here, you see that when we're older, these are the weaknesses. Our enemies think they could be strong. When we're older, we can feel God is far away. We can feel that God is far away. Look with me in verses 12. Verses 12, the first line. Josh, you want to read that so I can catch my breath?
"Do not be far from me.
Okay,
oh my God, he sees my help."
Yeah, so he's crying out. He feels he's older. God is far away, okay? Maybe others are far away. So there's also a feeling of shame. Verses 13. Kaylee, could you read verses 13? First line.
"Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and condemned."
Okay. So there's a wish that one's enemy faces shame. But let's look at verses 14. Verses 1, right? The first line says, "Let me never be ashamed." In other words, he's crying out like he doesn't want to be ashamed. Sometimes there is a sense. It is embarrassing. We can't do certain things again. Now, we need to realize, even when we're young, okay? I'm at this age right now where I see 60 is not even old. Okay, that's where I'm at right now, okay? I never thought the day would come. I remember when I was in the Marines, and probably Jen had the same thing. Well, we saw someone that joined the Marines at 27. Everyone hates them because they're old and they can't march as fast as everyone. I don't know if you ever had that. But I did. I remember being 18 thinking, man, what's wrong with this guy? Why didn't he join when he was 27? Why can't he just go that fast? And then we look at our corpsman, our medic, who's probably in their 30s and 40s. Like, man, what's wrong? They can't hack it. What's wrong with them? And I'm looking now and thinking, 35. I look at some of those pictures back then. I was like, why did I think that guy looks old? He looks so fit to me now. You know, looking at the pictures, okay? But we need to realize that being old has a certain struggle. And by the way, we live in a culture that worship what? Youth, right? We do, okay? By the way, that's an anomaly. Okay, most of history, people actually worship elder, or they give deferences to those that are elder. Okay, we live in an age where what? People that are 40s are trying to act like they're in their 20s. Okay, but that's not true for most of history. Okay, we're a culture that worship in American Western culture that worship youth. Okay, 60-year-olds are trying to look like they're 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 60-year-old movies, A-star actors trying to act what? Like they're still younger. Okay.
Yeah.
And the last hurrah, and they call them what? The Expendables, right? Things like that, okay? So we need to realize that. Part of it is we need to realize, hey, we will get old and frail, okay? I was just so surprised sometimes going overseas teaching how much deference people have for old people, right? I remember going to one country where our missionary Andrew was at, and they were telling me about how they show reference to him because he's older. So then they were telling me, like, during the time when it was time to eat, they're like, should we have you eat with the older guys? Should we have you guys eat with the younger guys? Like, you know, they're trying to show respect. And I realize, oh man, I'm younger than all these guys. Okay, I'm not. If I were to be sitting at the table, I'm like in even a young table, I'm not even like there, right? Everyone else is older, you know, except for like one guy who's my age, and everyone was older. I was thinking, man, they're like, should we show reverence? Or even going to Nepal, for instance, right? Like, everyone else sit on the floor, but the older people, oh, show chair. Then they're like struggling, you know, show the chair, but then I feel awkward because I'm looking, everyone else here has what? Gray hair, right? Like, I'm talking about they're like my grandfather's age, right? They're stroking their beard and mustache, like, like, you know, Confucius master. And I just have like these bunch of little, whatever, you know, cat whiskers, right? But remember here, right? In our culture, we emulate you so much, okay?
Right.
But at the same time, I think we need to realize being old faces challenges, okay? Faces the challenges, okay? So realize that. I think we need to realize that growing up, okay? And that should show our respect for those that are older, okay? If we're strong, realize our strength, we will lose it. Any of you guys seen Ip Man, the movie about Bruce Lee Master? There was one fight scene that I thought was really cool. He was fighting, and he was trying to disciple this one guy. And then that young disciple was like this young grasshopper, like just totally wants his master to fight everybody. But there's one thing I thought was really cool. The young guy was like, hey, how come you're not fighting everyone? How come you just like, hey, just like, we're just nice and just let everyone go and not fight anyone? And the guy just, I thought Ip Man, the character, Donnie Yen played him, thought said something that was very profound. I know it's not Christian or anything else, but I think that was a profound point that as Christian we could learn. He was saying, hey, you know what? One day I will not be strong. There's no point in fighting everyone. One day someone will come along and will be stronger than me. Than myself, right? So just show respect, right? So the same way, we need to realize that, okay? We will be old. So think of this when you're young. You need to hear this. We will all get old. We won't be strong forever. Those of us who are a little bit older, don't hold on to the idol of youth either, okay? Don't hold on to the idol of youth, okay? I need this, okay? Sometimes I can think back in my days, when we were in the Marines, we did this or that, you know, whatever else. And some young Marine come over in our church, I was like, what? You guys shot with this and that? Back in my days, we what? We used to go uphill with, you know, uphill both ways, right?
Yes.
Amount, I don't know, whatever, ankle breaker or whatever else, right? Things like that, okay? But I realized, hey, we cannot idolize our youth, okay? Those who are a bit older or are old, realize, hey, this song is for you. God loves you and hasn't forgotten you, okay? So good. Second point is you need to find your refuge in Him. Okay, you need to find your refuge in Him. I see this in verses 1-8. Verses 1-8. We're not getting older. We're not getting any younger. So even right now, try to trust in Him and find all your refuge in Him. Okay, find your refuge in God in verses 1-4.
Yes.
Okay, find your refuge in God is verses 1-4. Note the language of the writer turning to God and trusting in Him. Okay, look at verses 1. Verses 1 says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Okay? He didn't just say, I take refuge in God. He's crying out to God himself. In fact, he talks about God first. Right? In you, I have refuge. Now, normally in English sentence, what it comes first? Subject, verb, and object. Right?
Right.
I know, like, nobody likes English grammar. Okay? But in Hebrew, the way they usually talk is verb first, then subject, and then object. The way they would speak is almost like, you know, I hit the ball. Right? They'll say hit, I, the ball. That's what Hebrew looks like. So, but in Hebrew here, the order, he switches around. He's putting emphasis on God. He says in you, which is the object of who you're trusting in. He puts God first, saying in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Okay? He's putting an emphasis on what? On God. Okay? On God. Okay? He prays to God with the phrase, rescue me. Look at in verses 2. He says, rescue me. You see that? Then he says it again in verses 4. You see that in verse 4? Rescue me. So how many times does he say, rescue me?
Twice.
Okay, verses 2 and verses 4. He prays to God, what? Save me. Okay? Notice, so this guy who's praying here, he's really praying to God, is seeking him as refuge, okay? How many times does he say, save me? Look at verse 2. How many times does he say? Two times. Very good, okay? Two times, okay? He says, save me or rescue me, some of your version, okay? And also as well, look at also in verses 3, okay? It says, you have given commandments to save me, okay? By the way, it says here, you've given God's law, is it to hurt us? It's actually, it says here, to save me, right? Sometimes when we obey God, that's almost like the safety rails, right? From destruction that comes from naturally from sin, okay? Look also as well with me in verses 3. What does he call God? He says what? Rock, okay? Verses 3 says, be to me a rock of habitation, okay? So he saw God as like the foundation that provides stability, okay? There's different Hebrew word for rock. This is more of like a solid foundation, okay? This is not just a bunch of pebbles together or a bunch of sand. This is actually like a big stone that you build a house upon as foundation. This is what it is that he's calling and describing God. In other words, who does he turn to for his refuge? God, okay? He turns to God to trust in him, okay? We ought to turn to God, trust in him, and find refuge in him, okay? And by the way, we should live this out too. We should live this out. So this is the beginning part. And then if you look at verses 5 to 8, he gives reasons why we should find refuge in God, okay? He gives refuge. So he describes how he turns to God, trusting God as his refuge, verses 1 and 4. But now in verses 5 to 8, he gives the reasons, okay? So verses 5 to 8, what does he do? He gives the reasons, okay? Verses 5 begins with the verb, with the word for in our English, which is what? Showing reasons, okay? Mm-hmm. The word for is there for a reason, which is to show the reason, okay? Mm-hmm. Verses 5, for you are my hope, okay? In other words, the first part he says is what? God is his source of hope, okay? Look again in verses 5, it says, you are my hope, O Lord our God. And it goes on and indicates that what? God does not disappoint. It says, you are my confidence for my youth, okay? By the way, even right now, learn to trust in what? God, okay? I think our church, we're a small, humble church. One of the reasons why I love our church is we're not fancy. I actually don't think I would ever be comfortable being a pastor in a mega church where everything is all about nice and, you know, all that. Now, I want our church to grow. Don't get me wrong. I do. But I don't think I'll ever feel comfortable. And one of the reasons why I love our church is because I get to know everyone. You guys know who I am, right? There's no sense of what, if you idolize a pastor, I don't think you could idolize a pastor because you know who I am, my faults and all, right? You see me upset, you see me fall short, you see where I don't have wisdom, you see all of that. But at the same time, I also know people, you know, no wrong view or less likely, just small church. And one of the joy of being in our church is I also know people have a lot of illness, different situation. There's even someone, right, that I know, and some of you guys know, he's probably not even going to live till 45 with his muscle dystrophy, right? And he's losing weakness every day. And the reality is, being in our church, I know I'm going to be what? Yeah, I like to marry people and bury them too, is a reality, right? But there's a sense where, yeah, we live together and we remind one another, hey, you know what? Trust in the Lord even in your youth, right? I love going to our church because I see everyone of different age. As I grow older, I realize that's what I need. I can't just find people that's just 30s and 40s and young families, right? I love those that are older, seeing the Chinese church, even though they're a different culture, right? I love even those that's in our church that's not even Chinese, right? I love just going to church, realizing we're united because of Christ, right? And yet those that are older, the Chinese side, sometimes I look and I'm sad because every few months when we get together, I see someone that's not there, someone that's passed away, someone going to the funeral, and yet seeing also their faithfulness with God. And hearing their stories also. So realize all of this, brothers and sisters. You know, our time is very short in our lives, right? Live for God, as it says in verses 5, right? Let God be your confidence from your youth, okay? Contrary to what we think, trust, when we're older, it's harder to trust in God if we don't have the habit already of trusting in God in our youth, okay? So realize, living that out, seeing how God has been there for you, even in your life now, helps you, even the last years of your life, to remember to trust in God, okay? God, also, think of God's work earlier in your life period. This is what, even when you're older, what gives you source of hope is verses 5b and onwards, the second half. It says, O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have sustained my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continuously for you, right? Even this week, you know, we've been praying a lot for certain relatives with things, right? And we were just telling our daughters, like, hey, there's no promise of life. We're thankful. Rebecca, you know, Abigail, Hannah, you guys are alive, right? But also for us, okay? We live in a great time where most moms survive giving birth and babies do in America, right? Than any part in the world. So we need to be very thankful, okay? That even the fact that we've been given life, even when we're older, saying, thank God, Lord God, I'm thankful. Yeah, I might have these conditions. I might have, I don't know, diabetes. I might have all of these situations. I might have arthritis. I might have all of this. But Lord, you've worked in my life. You've even given me life up to this point, okay? And when we are weak, God is strong. This is why we trust in Him. Verses 7, for you are my strong refuge. That's the second half of verse 7, right? And in God is strong, we are very weak. I think Jen will probably agree with me. I feel like when I was in the Marines, there's a lot of strong men. But one of the things I discovered, one of the beauty of having Facebook now is some of the guys that I looked up to that were very strong, I discovered, wow, it turns out we're not that strong, you know? And then some of the guys that you thought was kind of funny that weren't that strong, it turned out, wow, actually, they're pretty resilient. Somehow, they went through all this and, you know, God's been gracious to them. They're able to go through that, right? I guess it's to say that, at least for me, I realized we're all not that strong. We're all not that strong. You know, a guy that's strong in his 30s, 40s, plus 10 years, man, he looks very different. And where he's at, everywhere, his, you know, emotionally, mentally, everything else is different, you know? We're all not that strong, okay? But God is strong, yes, okay? So, as application, do you regularly turn to God for your problems, right? Do you regularly trust in God? It shouldn't be embarrassing to trust in God, okay? Turn to God as your as the source of your refuge and problem means that you also deal with what? Your problem God's way, okay? I'm always amazed sometimes when people say, I trust in God to solve my problem, but then we become the person that tell the mechanic what to do, right? That you go, you take your, you know, thing, right? And think about it for a moment. Let's just say you have a life risk situation. You go to a surgeon, and the surgeon is the best in the world, or whatever condition it is. But it would be kind of funny if you start giving the advice to the doctor of how to cut, right? And that's how often we are, right? God knows all things, right? By the way, He knows who we are, even when we were in high school, didn't know what our identity was, right? When we were emo or whatever else we were going through. But yet all that, He knows well what it is, how to solve a problem. So part of trusting in Him is trust in Him to solve your problem His way, okay? And knowing that He's also for your good, okay? He's also out for your good, okay? Sometimes when people get old, also they think they already know everything about the Bible and don't read it. But I also want to encourage you guys to keep on reading your Word of God, okay? Keep on. At least for myself, the more I grow, the more I know I don't know, okay? Actually now I feel like whenever I read the Bible, I have more questions than when I was younger. My sisters, God bless my three sisters, there's no romanticism for them about me being a pastor. They will remind me sometimes, say, remember when you were young, you would come up to us and say, oh, you have any questions? I could answer it all. And they'll always laugh about it because sometimes some of the things they wrote down the answers, we look back like, man, like you were so wrong, right? And some of the things they remember, I remember one of the questions they asked, it was actually heresy. They say, is Jesus Christ God? And I said to them, no. Then like half a day later, I came back, I don't know. Like there's so many things we treat Him like a God. We pray to Him. Everything else, I don't know. But then they wrote it down, right? That there's not God. So they're like, man, Jimmy, you thought you knew, but you did not know, right? I look back and I was like, man. By the way, that's a sign sometimes you don't know something. There's so many studies done that people that know the least think they know the most, right?
Right.
With everything in life, okay? With everything in life. The guys that think they know the most, really active people that know the least are the ones that think they know the most in everything, okay? In politics, right? Everything, that's true of life, okay? So as you grow older, at least for myself, the more I read the Bible, the more questions I have and answers. Then I go and find the answers, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, okay, that's, you know, worth that, okay? So in the same way, continue to learn with the Bible, okay? Don't be someone that says, oh, I know it all already, with that, okay? Let's go on. Point number three, and by the way, as I grow more older, I realize sometimes it's not more head knowledge, it's more when I learn the Bible, it's how to apply, okay? It's how do I apply it. It's better than when I'm younger, okay? Point number three, focus on God's work of salvation, okay? Even as everything's bad going on, I think we must never forget the source of why we can continue to have hope when we're old is remember what God has done to save us from our sins. It's so easy when we're going through sometimes our trials in life to forget about, I think our problem is our main problem, okay? Whereas our main problem actually is we deserve to go to hell because of our sin. So we need to remember God's work of salvation. Look at me in verses 14 to 19, okay? I'll just read 14 to 19. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O Lord, you have taught me from my youth, and I will declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O Lord, you do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? Notice there's an emphasis on righteousness. You see that in verse 15? It says righteousness. In fact, it says it three times in our passage. Verse 15, 16, and 19. Okay? But when you think about God's righteousness, and you think about our own righteousness, are we pretty righteous? No, okay. By the way, sometimes I think I'm a good guy until I start reading the Bible, right?
Yeah.
If I don't read the Bible for a while, I could really think I'm a good guy. I'm a swell pastor, right? Until I start reading the Word of God, it's like, actually, man, I've been drifting and I didn't even know it, right? I've been having a feeling of self-entitlement. I've been judging others, right? I've been thinking it's all about my own strength, and then I read the Word of God, whoa, I fall short. Whoa, man, I've been just thinking about my own self, and I thought that was okay. When I was not even loving others, right? I did not have love, okay? Then I discover how much I fall short. So in light of righteousness, we realize how far we fall short. But you know what the beauty is that God saved us, even though we're on righteousness. In fact, He saves us is because of His righteousness, okay? Notice it says salvation all day long, right? His mouth, He's saying, even when he's talking about God's salvation all day long. What does salvation mean? That means saved from God's punishment, right? You realize in our life, our biggest problem is we deserve to go to hell, okay?
Right.
We deserve to go to hell. And yet God saved us from that. But sometimes I think what we do is like almost an iceberg, right? When you shave the top of an iceberg, what happens? Does it go, something else go, replaces it, right? Then we, you know, another problem. Let's just say our biggest problem is hell. Going to hell, but God saved us from that. Then we often substitute, oh, now this is our biggest problem, right? Do you ever have this? Like, oh, now my biggest problem is going to school, going to good school. Then God allow you to maybe to go to college. And then now your biggest problem is what? You substitute that, you know, that, oh, that problem is dealt with. Now your biggest problem is good grades. Then relationship, you know, a marriage. I'm married now, I have this other problem, right? Man, I'm exasperating just like brain like this, right? So that's all to say. Notice we live our whole life one problem after another. But sometimes I think we need to stop and realize it's okay. God has been delivering us with the biggest thing already. And therefore we thank. Would not God love us in the small things? By the way, even if He doesn't answer small things, remember the biggest thing has been dealt with. Your salvation. Christ died for your sins, right? And you, even when you're old, talk about the God and His grace of saving you, okay? By His righteousness, okay? To all generation, as it says in verses 18, okay? With that. So even right now, I think, at least for me, I remember being saved thinking when I was 15, Jesus died for me was a moving experience. To think of my sin, to realize He saved me. But I would actually say what age between my age right now from 35 to 15, it's been 20 years since I've been a Christian. Would I easily cry more thinking about Christ saving me? Verses 15, what do you think what age I'm more moved with the tears about what Christ has done for me? I would say right now, okay?
Right.
I think I'm understanding more of my sinfulness, right? That I am more wretched than I thought when I was 15, okay? And I'm more wretched even now as I get older too, right? But also as well, I'm also understand more appreciative, even more details. The more details I learn what he's done for me, the more I think, whoa, what an amazing God. And that's actually giving me peace, okay? That's giving me peace in my life. That actually makes me joyful. That makes me love other people. Love difficult people, okay? Difficult people are hard to love, okay? You know, it is so hard when you're working, whether in ministry or whatever your job is, okay? Whatever job it is, it doesn't get easier in ministry, okay? I remember working security. Man, it's so hard to love certain people. And then I celebrate whenever, yay, I got to love some guy that is difficult. I celebrate. I tell Andrew this, right? I say, yes, God. Then I go to church and thinking, oh, I can't wait to work at church. Because maybe people are easier to love because they're Christians. Then Andrew just look at me, our old pastor Andrew, just look at me like, you are so silly, right? You're so silly. Oh, well, you know, you'll learn. And then when he said that, I was like, oh, okay, I don't know. But Andrew, I don't believe you. But for some reason, whatever you say, it turns out to be right. So I'm going to believe you by faith, right? So all that to say, hey, everyone's always difficult, okay? Everyone's difficult if you to love. But at the same time, you love them because of what he loved you, okay? Let's go on to our fourth point. Foresee God's use of suffering, okay? Make sure you know ahead of time before you suffer that you will suffer, but God uses your suffering. Look with me in verses 20 to 21. So if you catch my breath, Jin, read me verse 20 and 21. Yes, sir.
You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You may increase my greatness and return to power.
Verse 20 might seem like a Bible problem. Because how could God use troubles and distress, being elderly, and yet revive again, right? Because sometimes when we're old, we can't reverse the bad condition we are. But I think the word here, reviving, is not talking about just this age right now, but it's also talking about what? Age to come, okay? You realize, at least one of the things I love about reading biographies, one of the things I like about reading biographies, especially good ones, critical ones, it always shows, one of the things I learned, is no matter how successful someone is, they always end their life, there's always disappointments, okay?
Sure.
And one of the things is, because sometimes if you only watch, I'm not really a fan of self-help books and self-help gurus, is because they often use people's biography, you know how it is, it's always linear, from disappointments to success, right? You ever hear the stories of like how many times Abraham Lincoln failed in life? You guys ever hear people use that? Like he ran for the Senate, he failed. He went for the bar exam, he failed. And he did this, and finally now he's a president. But I think that's true. I think that's true. But that doesn't tell the whole story. Because after he's successful, what happened in people's lives? Sometimes in the older years, there's a lot of disappointments too, right? Now, why does God allow that? I think why God allowed that is so that we don't become so full of ourselves.
Sure.
Sometimes it's so that we realize, hey, I'm old and I'm frail, I'm going through difficulty just like the other person that's quote-unquote by worldly standard, less successful by the world standard, right? And realize, hey, we're all made out of flesh and bones. We're all sinners. We are all, it's so that we remind us so that we would trust in Him, okay? And so that we don't just tell war stories when we're older, okay? So that in the end of the day, we trust in Him and make our heart yearn for heaven, okay? Preparing our heart to go and think of what counts is to be yearn for to be in the presence of God for the heaven that is come. Suffering has a way of making us turn to God for comfort, as we see in verses 21. It has a way of turning us for God for comfort instead of being comforted by material things, status, modern medicine, or anything else that lifts up our pride. He uses our suffering of old age, in other words, to turn our focus back to Him, okay? To turn our focus back to Him. By the way, is that true even right now? It's true even of our life suffering. Sometimes I know when we're suffering, we could easily say, why me? Right? Why me? But I think sometimes He allows it because God also knows our heart. We might be, if we're successful, if we are thinking God should give us good things when we haven't done things to quote-unquote earn it, how much more so if we have experienced some success, we think even more so God should give us something, right? So sometimes God uses suffering, unpredictable things, just to make us trust in Him, okay? To look for Him instead of trusting in ourselves and thinking we're self-righteous, we deserve everything, okay? Let's go on to the fifth point. frequently worship Him, okay? Even when we're older, now and approaching older, frequently worship Him. That's in verses 22 to 24. 22 to 24. Vincent, would you be able to read verses 22 to 24?
I will also praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, that you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. So,
amen. Yeah, so even when we're older, make sure that we're worshiping Him, okay? I don't know if you guys enjoy combined congregations. I used to not enjoy having the Chinese and English side just because of the language barrier. Believe it or not, I cannot speak enough Chinese, especially when they talk fast and, you know, it's beyond my comprehension. But one of the things that I've grown to enjoy is sometimes just hearing the prayer of the saints,
yes,
of the older people. And they're crying out, like they're singing. They're, you look and you're like, whoa, like how is that old lady have so much joy? Ooh. And she has a walker and everything else and she's singing, right? Like, and you're like, hey, she's not look, she doesn't even have a, we call it this book,
hymnal,
right? She's singing this from experience, right? From all of that, okay? And she's worshiping God, okay? So relish that. Realize that right now, work to worship God. And also, even in your end of days, worship God, okay? I know some of you guys' testimonies, also one of the people who left a big impact in your life has also been people in your family that are older. And perhaps you've even seen when they're older, caught them praying, in the middle of praying, okay? For worshiping God, okay? I know when one retreat, there was one time where they left, had us, the pastor, stayed at somewhere nicer, and everyone else was in a crazy cabin, except for this older couple. They had him stay with us. And just seeing her, what, early in the morning, the wife, waking up before everyone else to pray in the church. It was a very moving experience just to witness, right? I realized the strength of our church sometimes is not the strength of, oh, let's find a young pastor, he has energy. No. I think the strength of the church is those praying grandmas, right? Those praying grandmothers that some of those ladies I am so blessed with, right? Before, when I was young, I used to be like a horse that has, what do you call those things? Blind. I go to our churches, go with all the young people because it's exciting to be with young people. I walk by all the old people and never notice, right? Until when I came back from Iraq, some of these people came up to me and said, hey, I was praying for you every day. And I was like, whoa, I don't know you, but you know my name and you pray for me? They're like, yeah. Pastor Ling says to pray every day for you. So we did. I was like, why? But who am I to you, right? I'm just a young kid, yo-yo, 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid or whatever, right? And realize, whoa, these people were praying, right? So realize, worship God to the end of the days, right? Listen, we need to be one who grow old and end your life well, okay? End your life well, okay? End the race well by focusing and looking towards Jesus, okay?